Welcome to Conversations with David Lewis. Today, the U.S. attorney scandal. My guest is David Iglesias, the former U.S. attorney in New Mexico. He was one of the eight U.S. attorneys suddenly fired with no warning in 2006. David Iglesias' new book on his case, Injustice, Inside the Scandal That Rocked the Bush Administration, is now in your bookstore. More now from David Iglesias, the former U.S. attorney in Albuquerque, New Mexico, about his firing, along with seven colleagues, in December of 2006. You were put on the list, McKay, Charlton, Bogdan, Cummins, Chiara, Lamb, Graves, etc., and most of you sort of licked your wounds and went off into the night. Until when?
Well, until late January, mid to late January, was when Gonzalez started to testify about he would never, because, you know, by then Congress had been tipped off that in an unprecedented fashion, a president had fired his own U.S. attorneys. Previously, Clinton and Reagan had fired the preceding administration's U.S. attorneys. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's just a change of administration. These are political appointments. But no president in U.S. history has ever fired his own midstream. So Congress started snooping around. They called in Gonzalez, and Gonzalez says, I would never, ever fire a U.S. attorney for a political reason. I just wouldn't do it, which made us very angry because by that time we were already starting to put the pieces of the puzzle together. And then about a week or two later, in early February, Gonzalez's deputy, Paul McNulty, said we had performance-related problems, which for me was the flashpoint. You know, I took the attitude, well, they can fire us, but they can't smear our reputations, which is exactly what he had done when he said we weren't doing a good job. And he knew better. He had access to our reports, our office evaluations, and he would have seen that every one of us had really good write-ups, and yet he chose to tell an untruth about it. And that was the beginning of the crisis of leadership at the Justice Department.
Raising the flag of performance-related issues was like raising a red flag in front of a bull to you, McKay, and the others, because you were out there trying to find jobs, among other things, and all of a sudden you're being essentially smeared in public and told you're not competent.
And think about it this way. We'd all been trained in the media. We'd all tried cases. We'd all given hundreds of speeches. We were all comfortable in our public roles. Not only was it a red flag, you know, we were essentially the legal world's equivalent of gladiators because we'd been trained as such. And they just said that we were wimps. So we went back in the Coliseum. And we started putting the sword to people who were smearing us.
How?
By speaking out, by testifying. They're saying performance. Well, let's look at the evidence, because that's what we were trained to do. And we all made a compelling case. We testified in front of the House and Senate on the same day, which is incredibly rare, in early March. It just kept unraveling. What happened is the Justice Department began an internal investigation into our firings, and then they started finding more and more things, such as the use of political questions to hire career people, which violates civil law, federal civil law. I mean, they just kept finding more and more information showing that some high-level but very young and inexperienced staffers were running amok, and Gonzalez and McNulty did nothing to stop them.
Alberto Gonzalez is gone, Kyle Sampson is gone, McNulty's gone, Monica Goodling's gone. Who else is gone from the top leadership of Justice Department?
Michael Elston, who was the chief of staff to McNulty. He was the one who essentially called up Cummings and told us to not knock it off, or they would take off the gloves, they'd throw us under the bus, which Elston, being a career former federal prosecutor, should understand that that's called witness intimidation, which is a federal crime. You had Carl Rove step down 2 weeks apart from Gonzalez. So lots of people stepped down as a result of their treatment of us.
Senator Domenici isn't running again for the Senate. Heather Wilson lost last week her run for the Senate. The case continues to reverberate. When we met back in January or so, you know, I asked you about the Don Siegelman case, the former Democratic governor of Alabama. And at that time, you said, I just can't believe that a U.S. attorney would really bring a case like that if there wasn't a real case there. I saw you on YouTube the other day talking about that case in light of the fact that the federal court has essentially let Siegelman out. What's your view of that case now? Now that more of the story has come out.
Well, it's very troublesome for a number of reasons. When I saw you, Siegelman was still serving time in federal prison. The Court of Appeals, Federal Court of Appeals, released him pending his appeal. I called my old office here because in my 5.5 years as a U.S. attorney, I probably sent hundreds, thousands of people to federal prison. I couldn't recall one instance in which somebody was released by our federal appeals circuit. So I called one of the attorneys who does appeals, and I said, looking back now, in the years you've served, can you remember any case like that? He goes, no. He goes, it just doesn't happen. Which tells me that the Fifth Circuit there in Alabama looked at the evidence that was brought and found it not just weak, but just probably illegally weak. And I understand that that U.S. attorney has been referred to an internal probe that the Justice Department is doing right now. It's called the Office of Professional Responsibility. It investigates allegations of ethical misconduct.
There are a lot of those investigations going on. What are the investigations in your case, aside from the House, the Senate, and so on?
There are a total of five. The biggest is the Office of Inspector General, and his name is Glenn Fine, and he's tasked with looking for instances of criminal misconduct by Justice Department employees. He's doing a joint investigation with the Office of Professional Responsibility. That report's been ongoing, or investigation, rather, has been ongoing for about a year and a half now. They should be about done. The House of Representatives filed a lawsuit in March against Harriet Myers, the former White House counsel, and the current White House Chief of Staff, Josh Bolton, to force their testimony related to our firings. Myers and Bolton just ignored the subpoenas, claiming executive privilege. So there's litigation ongoing. And then last week, I, along with 24 other former U.S. attorneys, filed a friend of the court brief arguing that executive privilege should not cover that action of not even showing up to respond to a congressional subpoena. So there's lots of things going on, and the matter is not over. It's just not on the front pages like it was.
Now, there's a very odd sort of ironic aspect of this, which is that, you know, you are a lifelong Republican, evangelical. That's the political party that represents much of your point of view. Yet, you've become, a bit of a political pawn, or a ping pong ball in the middle of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
What's that like?
Well, it's awfully strange. And actually, just to correct, I was an independent for 12 years.
Okay.
And then I became a Republican when I turned 30. But I'm typically pretty conservative on social issues, not as much on fiscal issues. But, I mean, you have to understand, an evangelical Christian takes things like the Constitution pretty seriously. I took an oath to the Constitution when I was sworn in, not to the President, not to the Republican Party, as does every U.S. attorney. And, you know, what happened to us was wrong. It was unjust, and I had an obligation to speak out. I mean, the founders of the Constitution intended the branches to keep watch on each other because they didn't trust giving power to one person or one branch, which is why they made him co-equal. And when my party had the House, the Senate, and the White House for 6 years, lots of bad things happened. Virtually all the convicted members of Congress who have been sent to federal prison in the past year or two committed their crimes during this six-year period. I mean, power has to be checked. So, I mean, I applaud Feinstein and Schumer, who I would not agree with on lots of issues, but they're doing their job as intended by the founders, which was exercise oversight over the executive branch of government.
What are you doing now?
I'm working for a large consulting company working on border issues and law enforcement issues, and I'm still doing lots of Navy reserve duty.
Do you miss your old job?
No. No, I mean, it was a great job when I had it, but it was going to be coming to an end anyway. I was planning on leaving at the end of the summer had things not been accelerated a little bit.
What's next in the case of the fired U.S. attorneys?
I hope that the Inspector General recommends the appointment of a special counsel similar to Leon Jaworski back in Watergate, and that he investigates and, if appropriate, indicts people for perjury, for obstruction of justice, and witness intimidation.
So if there was one message about this case, what is it? What's the biggest idea here?
Prosecutions and politics don't mix. Prosecutors have to be independent, and that the rule of law means something. That everybody has to be held accountable, whether you're a U.S. senator, a member of Congress, or a U.S. attorney general.
David Iglesias, thanks for being on the show. Keep up the good work.
My pleasure.